Hey, check it out. You're smoking with your boy Joe Thunder. This podcast brought to you by Be Good Dispensary, our official sponsor. Bringing you the latest and greatest in hip hop and the arts and cannabis culture with co-host Elvis Freshly and DJ Sin. This is part two. Your boy Joe Thunder with the Smoking Joe Thunder podcast.
Yes, sir.
We got Q-Nox in the building.
In the building.
Elvis Freshly, DJ Sin.
Yes, sir.
Juan. I want to throw something behind the Juan, but I can't. I gotta come with some Juan. I don't know Juan. Juan De Niro. I like Juan De Niro.
Juan De Niro.
Is that cool with you? Can I call you Juan De Niro? Because you're getting the money with your camera.
Nice.
You know what I'm saying? But this part two, we were talking about Napster and shit, how we used to get our music back in the day. Mom's all mad because the phone line's all tied up.
Yep.
Taking fucking 40 minutes sometimes to download a song.
Download some song.
But you got the ill shit, though.
Yeah, you got the ill shit. You got to be able to find out all sorts of things. And then you didn't have to pay $16.99 anymore for a CD.
Right.
And that was great.
And like you said, we thought like that shit was going to go away, but that's still today.
Still to this day.
You know, I still tell MCs and I tell people, like artists and stuff, you should still buy CDs.
Oh, for sure.
It's like the perfect merch because of the size.
Mm-hmm.
And you can sign the cover and the CD and I can put it on my desk. Yeah. I can hang it on my wall.
Yeah, people
still
like
get that stuff because people will buy that shit. I'll spend $20 for a CD if I dig your music.
For sure. Yep.
You know what I mean?
Records
and
too.
Some of us old school motherfuckers still got CD players.
That's right.
Or records. Records would be even doper.
Records is dope. It's like just a whole package because, I mean, even the records come with a little download card. So you still get to listen to the music.
And I tell you, I have a pretty good autograph record collection.
I love
the way autographs look on the big album. You know what I mean?
You could do that back in the day. You take it to the concert with you.
Exactly.
Try getting them to sign it.
Exactly.
Dang, yeah.
Hey, one of the projects that you talked about that we were talking about earlier has yet to come out to this day.
It is.
And it's a masterpiece.
It is. You know, I did a project in this, gosh, this has to be 10 years ago. That I did with Lady Speech. And Lady Speech is an amazing entity of a person. And she does so much in the community. Mm-hmm. And she does so much for me. She's like an influencer on social media. She's helping people all around the world.
Literally, I seen the other day she posted something about she was at the protest in Flint. And I was like, damn, that's dope.
Yeah, she has been who she is, who is an amazing person for a long time. And I've always had a great affinity for Lady Speech, and we've worked together on a lot of occasions where I've played gigs and she's done poetry at the gig, or she's done poetry with Big Wheel. And I remember that I wanted to do an album with her where she would do poetry and we would do music behind it. So we did a album, and she would come to the house and record her poems, and then I would later put music to them. And it was a really great project, and it was something that I wanted to do. It was like a labor of love for me because I really enjoyed her work, and I really thought that there would be a great tie-in with the music that I could make for the album. And it was also in the when as a community, we were doing so much work with just, it was one group of, you know, two dozen people, and we all worked together. But when we finished that album, when I finally finished making it, I gave it to Lady Speech, and I know that for me, it wasn't about putting the album out. We didn't have to put the album out. It wasn't like I had it. We had finished this project from beginning to end. I was happy with it. It was great. And so when I gave it to her, and I was like, yo, if this is totally just, you know, we made this together. This is an amazing project. Here it is. It's amazing. And if you want to put it out, great. If you don't want to put it out, that's totally fine with me.
Right.
And so we never put it out. And I know that I have it. I don't exactly know where it is, but it's great. There's, you know, all variety of different things that she would talk about, and it was just, still to this day, one of the most favorite projects that I've worked on.
Right.
For sure.
And like you were talking about earlier, like you did it like almost the same format. You just had her come in, lay vocals, and then you laid the beats around them.
Right. It wasn't something where it would be like I would play the music and then she would do the poetry along with it. It would be where she would come in and do the poetry however she wanted to do it, and then I would go in later and I would do music in the background. So I got a chance to listen to what it sounded like with, you know, playing this instrument and, or putting this sample on it, or maybe making it really slow or making it really fast. And it was a lot of freedom that she gave me because she was just like, yeah, that's totally cool. You can, if you want to whatever kind of things you want to do with it. So
that's dope.
It was dope. And it was a great, another one of those projects where it's like, yo, it's here's the vocals. And I feel real comfortable being like, okay, I can take my time and kind of do
your craft.
Yeah. And I know what it's going to sound like. Whereas like sometimes when I'm making a beat, I don't know what it's going to sound like.
Right.
that might be a control issue. I don't know, but it's harder for me to anticipate what they're going to do. I'd rather be involved in like the whole thing right there.
Right.
I just want to sit and make that pie and be done with it and then eat it all by myself.
Right, right. So, Lady Speech, holler at my boy Q-Knox. Holler at me. I've been trying to holler at you for a minute,
sure.
Lady Speech, on every platform available. Trying to go through all channels. We need you on this podcast.
Yes.
Too. So this is a alert out to Lady Speech. Holler at your boy Joe Thunder, Q-Knox.
Yeah. Yeah, always, you know, shout out to Lady Speech for sure.
Yeah, she's dope. I remember her from back in the day. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Always a solid person.
Always solid. Always coming to the gigs. We would always go visit her for her projects, and we would always help put stuff together, and she would help us. And it was great. It was great. And I miss those days of, you know, what kind of felt like a smaller Denver. And I know I'm being nostalgic and old, but it was still, you know, and I'm sure kids will feel like this about right now, later on too. But back in the day when we would have our gigs and it would be us at the gigs, and then we would go to another gig and it'd be us at the gigs.
Right.
And it would be, if we weren't on stage, we'd be in the audience, or if we, you know, we get up on there and everybody would kind of be involved in all the stuff that was happening. And yeah, the golden era of youthful, you know,
yeah,
hip hop flavor.
For real. Another good story that you were telling earlier, man, is your story about the Black Hearts.
Oh, yeah. So because I was doing work with Foe, when the Black Hearts project started, I loved it. I loved everything about it. I loved the whole, like, goth, like, dark,
right,
really, like...
Sex, drugs.
Yeah, sex, drugs, rock and roll, like, heavy rock samples, real slow beats. It was dope. It still is dope. And so when they started putting out music, I was a big fan. I was in one of the videos that we did. Shout out Pape. And Karma and Jonas. And later on, Jonas had a side project that he did that was a sex tape, not like an actual sex tape, but like
that was the name of the project.
It was the name of the project. And we did a live album release, and I played in the band for it. And so at the end of the concert, or during the concert, he played a couple of songs that were Black Heart songs. And I remember learning those Black Heart songs and finding out that they were all in white keys. And so afterwards, I was like, yo, Jonas, all these Black Heart songs are in white keys. We got to change that. We got to I got to do some remixes so that you can have songs that are in black keys. And we'll just do like a whole.
And we're talking about the keys on the
black
piano.
Keys. Yeah, on the piano album. Because Black Hearts, black keys, it was all like, I was like, oh, I don't want to play in this key.
See, that's how my man Q-Knox is. He not only knows the craft, but knows the technical part of it as well. Like he was saying, his mom, you put a sheet of music in front of her, she can play it front to back. Like, he's learned that, so he knows the whole enchilada.
Yeah, you know, reading music was always a big deal, and being able to read music was always the gateway. You know, like, I tell the kids today, if you can read one of the books that's on the shelf at the library, like, look at all the other books that are there. You could read so much shit. You could find out so many things. Who knows what happens? And so I always felt like that about music, too, is like, if I can read this song, then, you know, all I have to do is find the sheet music for any song that's out there, and I could play it.
Right. And then after, like, working with all these people, and like you said, you guys, you're meeting, like, a lot of people. This is mostly through the Big Wheel shows, correct?
Right.
Appalooza?
Yeah, because I would play keyboards, and I would play, my left hand would play bass, and my right hand would play keyboard parts. And
you're playing two instruments?
Yeah, well,
fuck.
When Big Wheel started, when I started playing with Big Wheel, Charlie was there. And Charlie was actually the one that brought me into the whole music scene in general, because before I started playing any gigs, I knew Charlie from middle school. I knew Charlie, bass player Charlie Merton, shout out Charlie, from middle school. So when I moved back to Denver, he was one of my first contacts where I was fine. I was like, yo, what are you doing? Where are you playing at? And I went to go visit him on a Tuesday night when he was playing with Damien, and I sat in and I did that a few times, and then I subbed a couple of times, and then it was just like, yo, you should just come every week. And eventually Charlie stopped playing, and I would play bass because I would just play bass with my left hand. So on the keyboard, I just put a bass sound on and play bass with my left hand, and then my right hand would play the regular keyboard parts. And that's just we would add different instrumental players or different rappers or singers every week, but it was always just the core of me and Damien doing all that stuff with whatever it was. And it didn't start there, though. It started with Alex. When I would play with Alex over at Blue Ice, so we would have a gig, and it would be me and Alex. And one of those weeks, we didn't have a bass player. And I was like, no, it's no big deal. Left-hand bass, I can cover it for tonight. No big deal. Well, turns out that's now what we want to do every single time. So, so we don't have to get a bass player no more.
Did you get paid twice as much?
So I did not get paid twice as much. And I did end up doing bass a lot. And it was a really good, you know, it's you get those challenging things. And it's like, I really wish that I didn't have to do bass, but I liked doing it. And I liked, you know, being able to make up bass lines and be able to do that. And now that's just how it is most of the time. There's lots of groups and keyboard players that play lots of keyboard bass. You know, and that's what organ trios used to do back in the day. An organ trio was an organ player and a guitar player and a drummer. And the organ player would play bass either with his left hand or with the foot pedals. He used the foot pedals. That's the crazy shit, is when you have organ players that used to play like jazz bass lines with their feet while they would play with their right hand and play the organ in both of the... It's just amazing.
When how far after did you guys come... Before, like, the Break Mechanics and Future Jazz Project.
It's all parallel. It's all the same time.
So it's all...
I think, actually, I want to say, because before it was called Big Wheel, Damien had a group that was called Dragonfly.
Okay.
And Dragonfly was originally the project that would play at Appaloosa, and it included people like Day-Day, Pause, Raymond, Gregoire Raymond on keyboards, I think, and lots of different like people that are used to play in projects that were Future Jazz projects and Break Mechanics project. Casey. Casey used to play bass.
Because that was kind of like one of my, not my first, but like that was one of my introductions after coming back to Denver.
Yeah.
I went to a Slick Rick show and I seen The Fly and I seen Break Mechanics and I was kind of in, I was like, damn, these motherfuckers are tight.
Yeah. Purple Martini. Didn't they have that gig at the Purple Martini back then?
I think so. I wasn't into the local shit then.
Okay.
Like I said, I was more concerts and I just happened to see him open at Cervantes for Slick Rick.
Oh, yeah.
And then like a couple months, I don't know, 6 months down the road is kind of I met Fire and kind of got introduced to stuff.
And then we would see you at gigs.
Yeah. I definitely had a vision.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I've always loved music and there are people that, you know, I don't want to say my age, but there's people, I say like Chones and like Fiends.
Oh, man, yeah.
Where we were living that shit, growing up with that shit. If we would have been in New York, we would have been in the fucking mix and that shit doing it. Like, because I grew up that shit, just I was over here, just like them. You know what I mean? Same shit. They were, you know what I mean?
And once you're in that circle, you went to everything. And you went for free because Chones was opening for this dude. Or... we knew the people that worked at the door, or we...
Do you remember that shit back in the day? I wanted to talk about this on the last podcast. It kind of came up, but do you remember, like, Cervantes? Like, the back door?
Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure.
Like, literally just open the back door for every fucking concert for the longest time.
Yep. We used to do that at Cervantes. We used to do that at, like, even places like the Fox, you know, where you would be just, like, you would let people in with you. Or you would, you know, I got shit to carry. If my girl's with me,
my homie,
and I want my girl to come backstage with me, well, you're going to carry this shit so that we don't have any questions.
Yeah, you play the part, you can get in anywhere.
Yeah. Well, plus, I'm a 6 foot tall, blonde hair, blue eyed white guy. If I put a suit on, I could walk and get the nuclear codes and nobody would say anything. Like, I've had gigs where we've played and it's been like, I'm going into the art museum or I'm going into the library or I'm going into some government building. And I have to wear a suit because I'm playing for some event that's happening in there. And I go to the back door to get in. And the guy's looking at me and he's like, okay, go ahead. And I'm like, you're not going to ask me for my ID. You're not going to ask me what I'm doing here. You don't.
Right.
You're just like, he must be like, I could walk into the back of the restaurant and just go like straight back like I'm some manager or something. So it wasn't like that for Damien.
Right. And that's what it was. It was our last podcast with Chones talking about like he's working for the Broncos and going through so much security. And I was like, back in the day, we used to walk into the Bronco games.
Walk right
in. We'd walk in the Nuggets game. If you had someone that was going to the game,
McNichols,
you'd be like,
hey, at McNichols.
Can you open the doors upstairs where they let back in the day, you can go out and smoke.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? But you had to go outside.
True.
So you just go up there and be like, hey, can you open the door? And as soon as they get in, they open the door and you'd be right in the Nuggets game. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was crazy back in the day.
Yeah, Denver was so much smaller back then, I think, too. It was just maybe it fell smaller, but it was definitely like, you know, we knew that weed was going to be a issue, but we also didn't prepare ourselves to deal with at the number of transplants that we've gotten. And it's been amazing. We've had, for musicians especially, we've had some really amazing musicians move here and set up shop here and play gigs here. And that's great. And we also have all those people you see on the street and you are driving down the street and you want to kind of strangle a little bit.
Right? I see them jogging through the east side, running their dog and wearing Crocs.
You see that California license plate like, God damn it.
Right. Hey, well, check out, I got some questions for you right now.
All
right. If you can make beats for one person, would it be Tupac or Kendrick Lamar?
Huh, okay. I think it would be Kendrick because I could get weird with it, because I could do weird things with it.
Makes sense.
I think if I did something for Tupac, it would have to be like traditional hip-hop something.
Nas or Biggie?
Ooh, that's a tough one, too. I think I would say Biggie because I feel like Biggie would be one of those cats where it's like, you could make whatever you want. Just whatever you make. It's all
you
good.
Could, with his flow and the way he flows and everything, you would have a fucking field day with that shit.
Yeah.
You could probably make 10 remixes to every fucking song.
Oh, for sure. I did a whole Biggie tape. I've definitely done a whole Biggie remix tape.
You're going to have to shoot that my way so I could check that shit out.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
So definitely Biggie. But I love Nas. It would be, I did a whole Nas, that's funny too, because I did a whole Nas remix tape.
Those
are two.
How many tapes you got total, you think? Projects? Ballpark.
Under the Qnox name solo, it's probably in like the 16, 17 range.
How many are unreleased?
There
another
are.
Another 10? Another 5?
Yeah, because I think there might be like 10 online. So there's, or 12 online. So I probably have about 4 or 5 that, like, there's a project that I made where I used all beats. I made beats from all Disney samples. So I sampled all of the different Disney movies and made beats out of like Aladdin and Lion King and all types of
shit. Is all this available online?
No. The Disney beats are not available online because
probably copyright.
There's no way I'm gonna get away with that. Right. There's no way I would get away with that. The Lady Speech project is not out there. There's a Frank Sinatra project that I have that I did with Frank Sinatra beats that I had not put out.
Do you remember
online?
Remember the Frank Sinatra Biggie?
Oh
like
yeah.
DJ
oh,
was
yeah.
it Carmelo?
It was from Brooklyn to or from
That shit was
something
dope.
To Bed-Stuy.
Those first couple of songs were
super dope. Yeah.
Right.
Man.
Next one I got for you is Eminem or 50 Cent?
Oh, 50.
50?
50. Yeah. I mean, I have an affinity for 50 because when I was in New York, that was my shit. And all of those like G-Unit tapes where you would hear these Lloyd Banks verses that you would never hear him rap like when it was like the party song for the 50 album. Whew. I love those. I still have a couple of those, I think. Those old DJ Clue and shit.
Let me see who else I got. Who was I going to say? I was going to say R.A. the Rugged Man.
Oh, shit. Okay.
And or fucking, what would be a good one for R.A.? I was going to pick like a West Coast, like underground. Mm. Or Razzcast.
Oh.
Because they're both lyrical.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one. Those are two rappers where I really enjoy the sound of their voice, too. Especially Razzcast. Like, I love the sound of his voice. It's the same with Karma. Karma's a dope rapper, but the sound of his voice is so dope. That's what, like, so I think it would be Razzcast.
Razzcast. Mm-hmm. And then I was going to say Gangstar or Cypress Hill.
Oh, I love Gangstar, but I would definitely do Cypress Hill. I would definitely do Cypress Hill. And because of B-Real's voice, because that shit's so unique.
Like you said, it's the voice.
Yeah,
again.
It's like, it would be so much fun to be able to do a project because those guys too, they every single year they either put out something that's totally different from their last project or they put out something where, oh, this was back in 1992 off of this video game that we never told you about. I mean, DJ Muggs is out there making amazing music. So I can't imagine what it was like back in those sessions.
Right. If you could make a couple beats for a musician that's passed, who would you choose?
I would, let's see.
Think like maybe a Sean Price or a Big L. Or,
oh, yeah.
Or fucking, even some of the cats that just
Big
passed
Big L is
recently.
A great one. I think, Yeah, Big L, I might lean on that one too, because Big L is so New York. Big L's got some great tracks, and Big L has a lot of acapellas out there, but Big L suffers from the Kazaa disease, where it's acapellas that say there's something else that's Big L, and it's not.
Right.
So I get like download like five different titles of like Big L acapella.
You might get one.
And you're like, oh, this is all the same song with different titles. This is not some Big L song I never heard of. Oh, yeah, Big L.
You like blunts or joints?
Joints.
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 Big titties, yep. Or big booties?
I'm an ass man. I'm a booty man.
I love big booty. Yeah. For real. I can't lie.
No, I'm not gonna try.
You know what I'm saying? What kind of 40 you drink in high school? Did you drink at all? Did you party at all in high school? Oh, yeah. Did you guys party down?
Yo, high school, because we didn't have the events that were the football games and the basketball games at School of the Arts, were always events at people's houses. It was always house parties, or it was park parties.
Okay. Yeah.
And because School of the Arts was a school where kids from all over the city came. And so everybody lived all over the city. We usually got bussed in. Like, I got bussed from my house over to DSA. Mm-hmm. So we used to have parties that were in all different neighborhoods. And Roseman Park, over by, like, Hamden and Monaco, I want to say.
Is that the one with the softball fields that kind of runs, like...
There's part of it like that.
Yeah.
And then there's another part that has a little more trees and has a hill, and you just go there and buy a keg and...
That's what we used to do.
But back in the day, it was all the malt liquor that you could get, but it was Ice 800.
He said Ice 800.
King Cobra.
I remember King Cobra.
Yeah, Mickey's was a classic.
King Cobra, like when I went to college, that was the only thing they sold at 7-Eleven. And the thing that, what that is, 7-Eleven was like 100 feet away. And they sold liquor till 2 in the morning.
Yeah, and you're just wanting to get drunk. Yeah, I don't give a shit what it is. Colt 45. Old English.
Get your Billy D on.
Get the Billy D on. Yeah. You remember the like cutouts they would have?
Yeah.
I always wanted one of those cutouts. Oh, such a pimp. Yeah. Those were the... But really, I mean, when I turned 21 and around that time, I was living in New York.
Oh, okay.
So we had a fake ID that we would take everywhere. And the New York bars were expensive.
Uh-huh.
They were crowded. And they were open till 4 in the morning.
Right.
So... You were getting home at like, you know, you would like...
6 in the morning.
6 in the morning. And that's if you didn't fall asleep on the train. There were many nights when I would
fall asleep and then have to...
Then you get the tap and it's like, yo, you're in Bay Ridge.
Fuck.
Because now it's 6:30 and now I got to go to the other side of the track.
Uh-huh.
Get on the other train. Another hope I don't fall asleep. Minutes. Yeah, exactly. Oh, man. I do not miss that.
That is wild. I can't even imagine.
Nah, New York is great, though. I don't want to live there unless I have a huge amount of money. Yeah. However, New York, I visit a lot, and I love it.
I feel the same way about L.A. like it. I like to visit.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I really like to live there unless I have, like, a lot of money, and I could be like Kobe Bryant, RIP, just take the helicopter.
Yeah,
you know, and shit
exactly.
Like that.
Because then you can go and you can do everything.
Mm-hmm.
If I was in New York and when I was in college, I didn't have no money. I wasn't able to do all the shit I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
I was still trying to pull scams to try to get in places and know people here and get that for free and... You know,
talking about college, I'm high, and you just remember what I was thinking of. But talking about IDs, man, oh my God. When I got to college, I don't know who it was, but someone had the bright idea and said, hey, let's go to the DMV and let's see what's in the trash can. And I swear to God, I didn't go. These motherfuckers came back with 5 bags of fucking IDs. Everyone had IDs.
Oh,
I had
God.
Like 3 IDs.
Did they have pictures on them?
Yeah, like
so
regular.
So you're just like looking to find who looks like you?
Exactly.
Awesome.
All you need to do is, I had 3 IDs. I had 3 motherfuckers that looked like me that were all in the range. But man, like for real. And you got to think, like you said, shit is way different nowadays.
Oh,
back in the day, shit was like, so you can get, I mean, honestly, think about it right now. You're not going any place and finding 3 bags of fucking state issue IDs of anything.
No.
You know what I mean? But back in the, like, you know.
This is pre-9/11.
Yeah. Okay. Back then, like, I don't know who thought of it that day, but like, fuck. Like, we were in the bar that night, like 20 deep, not giving a fuck.
Just pretending my name is.
Yeah.
What? Matt
exactly.
Matt
Barnes? Okay. Shit was just way so much so simple. I mean, we didn't have no internet. You know, you had the phone at your mom's house. You didn't really have cell phones. Like, you might have had a pager. And if y'all don't know what that is, that's a little square device that doctors usually have. And you fucking page it. You call it and leave your phone number, and they call you back. Like,
it was wild. And everybody had their own codes. Yeah. And then they would spell words that you'd have to read upside down. Or
who's Lucille? Locelle. Who's Locelle? I know you cheating on me.
I'm not calling that back. I'm not calling that back.
Baby, that means my battery is low, baby. Locelle.
Locelle. Oh, my God.
I'm not cheating, baby. I love you.
Hell no.
You know what I'm saying?
You have to pull over and find, like, a payphone?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to tell you that earlier. Like, I'm stuck at the bus stop. I'm calling collect to my fucking parents. Pick me up a car at Walmart.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I would do that with my, I would have any money you try to say it when they ask you what your name is. I'm ready to go.
Yeah, ready to go. Come pick me up. I'm ready.
Come pick me up.
You know what I'm saying? Riding the bus everywhere. Yeah, yeah. I remember, like, my parents got me, like, video games. And we were still playing at the park football, going downtown, buying records.
Yep.
Doing all that
shit. Yeah, before even the light rail was out. I mean, I didn't even ride the light rail until I was in middle school, high school. So on the bus, on the 15, trying to go places.
That's a wild. If y'all know about the 15, because a lot of y'all ain't from here. Ooh, y'all ride the 15, 15 limited. You're going to see some wild shit. I've ridden that motherfucker every time of the night. And, man, it does not cease to surprise me. I remember even one time I thought these fools were going to start blasting. I'm like, damn, like, it's really about to go down right now.
You never know on that shit.
You never know. I seen a motherfucker get on there with a mini fridge, pull out a cigarette, light that shit, and just smoke it right in front of me. And I ain't say shit. Like, do you, homie?
Yeah, he came in with confidence. He didn't want none of it. If whatever smoke that you wanted, he wanted double the smoke.
That's why he wanted double the smoke. Well, like,
I dare you.
Hope you have a good day there, sir. You know what I'm saying?
Salute. Yeah, I got nothing to say to you.
Number love. Hey, what are some of, like, the highlights that kind of stick out through what you've been through so far? Like, kind of the ones that really just kind of, like, damn, like, that's, you know, fuck.
Well, you know, there's a lot of the times it's funny things that you think about later that you didn't like in the moment. Or learning experiences that were real tough, but you really enjoyed, like, that's the memory that I remember. But there's been really great gigs that I've had. You know, it's those nights where, like, it feels like no time went by, but you're exhausted.
Right.
And there's really great places that I've played at around town and around the state and around the nation. And there's really great people that have been involved in it. And I've had to play with all types of people, from reggae bands to symphony orchestras, to playing for musical theater, to playing with rappers and singers. And it's just really been a great experience. You know, shout to everybody that I feel like if I name people, I'm going to lose everybody, because I'm not going to name everybody. But shout out to everybody, because it's all of the people that are here that are in Denver that have really been, like, the a lot of the great experiences. But I got a chance to also listen to different people that, like, when I was at school, I was with school with people that play for all types of different venues and places and shows and things now. And, you know, you think about the person who's playing for Lady Gaga or the person who's playing for Snoop, and they're so, like, such a great player, and they're such an amazing musician. So, always, if you see those concerts, you go to those shows, you think about that, that's always something that you can check out. I mean, everybody that's a side musician in any of those projects always has their own thing, and they're always really, really dope.
Did you go to the Wu-Tang joint with the orchestra by chance?
Oh, I did not see the Wu-Tang thing with the orchestra. I know what you're talking about,
though.
Pretty
dope.
Yeah, those collaborations are great. I like that they're doing stuff like that. I'm really happy that the pandemic didn't really tear open a bunch of the different classical institutions and operas and things. And, you know, we're still able to have those kinds of shows, because it's really important for musicians and music to have those kinds of opportunities. And sometimes you don't get, like, I'm such an asshole, and I do love to see those kinds of things, but I also love classical music. So I'm also like, well, I want you to play this Rachmaninoff and this Tchaikovsky shit, and I want you to play this Mozart one, and this, I want to go see this opera too. Like, I know everybody loves to go see the Star Wars ones, but, like, I look at the schedule and I'm always like, I still want to see some of that
right, crazy
shit that, you know, the planets or something. So,
Have you ever done anything like Eyes Wide Shut?
There's.
Okay, have you ever performed blindfolded in a mansion?
Man, I have all kinds never of
crazy shit going on.
I haven't been to those parties. Rich people are weird, though. I have done a lot of like house parties for rich people, uh-huh. and where you have like, I remember I did a Christmas party for this dude who was really big up in Lockheed, and he did engineering or something with like planes that the military bought. Who fucking knows? He's got $1 million, and he was this. Friend of a student's dad or something when I was teaching up by Boulder. So he asked me to do the Christmas party, and I went over there. And gigantic mansion, huge, crazy.
Right.
Big spread. All of the Christmas tree's like 1 million feet tall. And so it was just wild to see all of those people like interact. And you think about it and you say, oh, it's not like the movies where they're like, they sound all like villains and they laugh like, oh, but it was exactly like that.
Right.
It was just like that shit. And he, at the end of the night, we were talking, and he was talking about how, because this was after the financial crisis of 2008. So this is when, like, those corporations lost a whole bunch of money on the stock market. Mm-hmm. And they didn't want to look like they were spending money. So when they talked about, like, oh, this company had a party that cost $6 million, that's when people were like, oh, no, you didn't. That's fucked up. You can't do that. We're all struggling.
Right.
So he said, this year, our Christmas party, or last year, our Christmas party had Kool in the Gang.
Right.
We had a Christmas party, the corporate party that was like decked out, bonuses, everything. Yeah. Kool and the Gang played it. This year, our Christmas party was at the bowling alley. So it was just like...
That's quite a 180.
That's quite a 180.
Oh, yeah.
But that corporate money dried up after that. We used to play all sorts of corporate gigs for extravagant amounts of money. I mean, not really extravagant. But
getting paid good.
Yeah. Like when you're doing like $50 and $100 not gigs, and all of a sudden you're like getting $500 and $1,000 gigs, you're like, well, yeah, I'm going to do that.
Hell yeah!
I'll be at that luncheon.
Hey, what kind of things can they look for you coming up in the year to come? Being that we're almost done with this year.
Oh, I know, man. I'm so excited to be done with this year, and I'm just like last year, hoping that next year is a good one. But you never know. So, I know music's coming back. I'm working so much at the school that I'm trying not to be as active with the music that's live. But
right.
Me and Damien are always making new beats and. I really want to put a project together that we can do during the break that I'll have for Christmas. So around the time of the week before and after in the holidays, I think we'll do a gig down at Appaloosa. So
dope.
You can always go to the Big Wheel Facebook page, Big Wheel Electro Soul, and we'll definitely post everything that's going to happen on there. I'm excited about... I have a couple of projects. You know how when you're working on stuff and you have things that you're like, oh, I'd love to do this project. And then you have a piece of that over here. And then there's another project over
right.
here. So I have been working. Most recently, I haven't given up on this project where I go on an imaginary date with Rihanna. And every song is a part of that date.
Okay.
So there's like the part of the date where this happens. Now, this happened before she got pregnant. Okay. And I'm under no illusions that Rihanna is going to, hear this project or anything. Beyonce still hasn't gotten back to me about the project that I made about her.
Damn it.
But I would like to do a project like that. And so I do remixes of her songs, mm-hmm. but like this is for this part of the night.
Right.
So that's the latest thing that I've been putting out. But I'm, I'm always teaching piano. I'm always playing. And it's the life that it should happen that I get called to do who knows what in the next couple of weeks or the next couple of days. So I'm excited about getting back out there.
Hell yeah. That's dope, man. Well, shit, we really appreciate you coming on the podcast. I'm definitely learned a lot, man. And
thanks for having me, for sure.
Shit, like I said, appreciate everything, man. Any kind of like last shout outs?
Well, I want to.
Any final thoughts?
I do have a final thought. So I was talking about this with Cedric, mm-hmm. with Kid Hum, with Shizzle, with Sean. Shout out, Sean.
Okay.
And. I forget. I think Top Hall and Denver does not. The overall message that we said is that Denver does not deserve Joe Thunder. Denver has never. Denver does not deserve the amount of work and effort that you put in to cataloging all of the things that have happened over the years. And Denver does. We appreciate you.
Damn.
And we talked about it when I think after Sed did the podcast.
Right.
And we're like, we had a couple of questions. Or anytime I bring up like an old group, I'll be like, you guys remember MNLD? And they'll be like, I don't know, they're from Mont Bell. Yeah. And we're like, oh, where would we even find that? And they'd be like, oh, Joe Thunder probably has some. Joe Thunder probably has this. And whatever it is that we need to know about hip-hop history and hip-hop in the, like, elements sense. You know what I mean? Like, that's... So, shout out to Joe Thunder, everybody, if you see him on the street.
No, I definitely appreciate that, man.
The Ken Burns of Denver without, like, you know, the sepia-toned stuff. Just raw footage. Right.
Just, yeah, trying to get that raw, exclusive shit y'all don't know about because... We got talent here, and we've done had talent here, you know?
And you've got footage of it.
A lot of footage of everything. Like you said, that's kind of one thing when I started is I always was always about documenting shit, so.
Joe Thunder has footage of everybody that they don't even know about. Right. Like, you might not even know that he was there. And then, like, months from later, he'll show you, and you'll be like, I don't even remember that.
Damn.
You were there. You were right there.
And I still have a hard drive. So. Full of footage that I haven't even used, but you know.
Well, yeah, for sure. So shout out Joe Thunder, man.
Yours comes on time from time too. There's a couple clips on the Box Day Music channel.
Time to time. Yep, back when we were doing, I think it was Girl Grabber stuff is on there.
It was, yeah.
We've got stuff
it's
that's
you
with
DJing
Big Wheel.
With someone else, and it's probably Big Wheel shit too. You know,
Big
what
Wheel
I mean?
Shit's on there too. Yep,
but not like you said. I kind of always. On the record, trying to get some dope shit. You never know,
man.
You know what I mean?
That's right. You never know when you're going to find some really good shit. Something's going to happen.
Hell yeah.
Someone's got to be there to do it, and nobody was there to do it but you.
Yeah, I just...
So a lot of that's the exclusive.
I just always love music, man, and you know what I mean? I got a good ear for it, and I'm around a bunch of dope people, so when I put the puzzle together, it's not hard.
There you go.
You know what I mean?
That's all it takes.
Hell yeah.
Well, shout out, man.
For real, appreciate that, man. And I appreciate you too, man. Like I said... I wish Damian could have made two. We're going to have to get him on.
Yeah, we're going to have to have a session where we bring D up here and talk about some of the
For sure. The I remember
big
him
wheel
back
stories.
In the day, some weed-smoking motherfucker.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So he fit right in. Yeah, Damian has a bunch of the good Big Wheel at Appaloosa stories, too, every Tuesday night.
Hell, yeah. Well, you already know you can find us on all platforms. We're everywhere. Just Google Smoking with Joe Thunder Podcast. Say we're on Spotify, we're on Apple, we're everywhere, man. I don't even know to start. Thanks again to Q Knox for blessing us.
Yes, sir.
You still gonna play a little something for us right here on the
piano?
Oh
shit, that's right.
Do we need to get need to get you a seat, a chair, or you want like the chair?
No, we'll just stand up really quick. We'll play a little like make up a little Joe Thunder theme. the podcast, the Freshly and Thunder theme.
Yeah, let's check it out, man. Let's see what you got going, bro.
Yeah.
Exclusive shit, Joe Thunder, Q Knox, Smoking with Joe Thunder, podcast, Elvis Freshly, DJ Sin.
Yes, sir. I'm old school.
The classics are all of the, in the beginning, the classics were all the Dre beats. And then, like, marching band days in the 90s, we used to be like, came out
right.
Then of course like all of the Dilla beats. there's the...
There you have it, part two, Q Knox, producer, pianist. You say pianist, pianist.
That's the first
DJ.
The first clue you have that the lady likes your piano playing is that she asks that question.
Okay, there you have it right there. You know what I mean? So, yeah, give us a holler. Shit, find us everywhere, and we are out of here. Peace.